Hey everyone, welcome back to For the Love of Food. I'm your host Brooke, alongside with co-host Sandy.
Today we have a really interesting, eye-opening topic that we can't wait to share with all of you. Today, we will be diving into the topic of how lunchrooms unknowingly create and divide identities.
This topic is one that we feel a lot of people don't really acknowledge or pay attention to, so we're super excited to inform and educate you guys about this topic and hopefully make you reflect on your past and how lunchrooms played a role in who you are.
Also, we're switching it up today from our usual podcast structure, and we're going to branch out and interview some fellow students to get some added perspectives on lunchrooms and people's experiences.
However, before we do that, we want to give you guys some of our own backgrounds and go in depth about what this topic really means to us.
So, to give you guys a little more understanding about what we're going to talk about, we'll be discussing the ways in which food, lunchroom foods in specific, act as a tool to shape identity and bring about differing backgrounds.
Yeah, and we will also cover how food has a sense of power, dividing people by race, gender, class, and more.
In general, there are a ton of stereotypes when it comes to what we eat at lunch. Here, we'll use the example of a kid's lunchroom and their stereotypes. The cool kids have name brand foods like Doritos and Oreos.
Oh my gosh, if you had Oreos, you were so cool as a kid.
While the kids with the simple peanut butter sandwiches weren't as high up on the totem pole.
Yeah, honestly, food was such a powerful influencer of who held the popularity and in some cases, whose parents had the money. However, as kids, this is more subconscious. I don't remember thinking about these things as a kid, but now I reflect on it.
There's actually a quote from a super informative book we read called Formerly Known as Food, where they talk about this concept. Author Kristen Lawless wrote, "Her friends are mostly the children of working class parents, and she refused to bring healthier items that her parents packed for her school lunch, saying that the other children teased her for having carrot sticks, while they lunched on brightly colored packages of Doritos, plastic encased Lunchables, and cans of Coke," when talking about a little girl who was embarrassed to eat healthier foods at lunch.
Something like that is so eye-opening to me. Just because her foods weren't considered cool or name brand, she didn't even want to bring them to lunch, let alone put them in her mouth. This really shows that looking cool with food at this age outweighs what is actually good for our bodies.
In fact, that girl might even be set up for life in a negative way. If she leans towards junk food and name brand foods, like Lunchables for example, as a kid, she may eat those more later in life. What we eat as kids in the lunchroom can seriously influence what we eat growing up.
I couldn't agree more. This is something people probably don't even realize either, but how we eat as a kid, the patterns we develop with food, and our eating habits can stick with us for life. Food acts as a powerful tool in our lives, even from this age.
Shifting gears towards our own experiences, I know you have a unique perspective on this topic, Brooke, and I think the listeners would love to hear it.
Yeah, so growing up, I was the youngest of three girls, so by the time I was going through school, my mom was pretty sick of packing lunches. So when I was in middle school, I started packing my own lunch. I had more choice to what I brought and what I was eating. However, as I mentioned, I was the youngest of three, and so when I was in middle school, my two older siblings went vegetarian, so I thought I should also be vegetarian. So in like sixth grade, I swapped out my usual turkey sandwich for peanut butter and jelly. Obviously, this isn't a huge change. Nobody really cared too much, minus like the innocent comments like, "What happened to the turkey sandwiches?" However, in seventh grade, I started eating hot lunch. Typical school lunches consisted of hot dogs, pepperoni pizza, and chicken tenders, all things I couldn't eat. This is the age where everyone started asking me why I wouldn't just eat the meat, telling me being a vegetarian wasn't really necessary, and just being judgmental because that's what middle schoolers do. But by the time I hit high school, at the end of my freshman year, I actually did go back to eating meat because seeing everyone around me eating it, I kind of felt left out. Not only that, but the comments kind of ended up getting to me and low-key pressured me to quit being a vegetarian.
So, in that story, you would say that the feeling of being judged and left out in the lunchroom because of your food choices influenced what you ate?
Absolutely. Obviously, I could have grown a backbone and just stuck to my ways, but at that age, fitting in is everything, and being in the lunchroom is an easy way to tell if you're part of the in crowd or not. But Sandy, I also know you have a story that deals more so with religion that I think the listeners should hear to get another perspective.
Yeah, so since I'm Jewish, what I ate growing up differed tremendously from my peers, especially in the lunchroom. Being Jewish, I found myself eating many foods that most are not accustomed to. Nowadays, I commonly eat tuna, challah, lox, and many other foods that people around me are not usually consuming, as well I ate that back when I was a kid. So once when I was a kid, one specific time that I found myself getting judged and feeling uncomfortable was during the holiday Passover. During this holiday, Jewish people do not consume leavened bread. Therefore, we replace bread with a cracker called matzah, something I'd make sandwiches out of as a kid. When I would sit down at the lunch table as a kid and pull out a peanut butter matzah sandwich, I constantly felt judged. People always asked me what I was eating and gave me strange looks. Also, during this time, I would have to refuse foods like cookies, pizza, and pastas, causing a divide with me and my peers around those foods. People didn't and still don't really understand this and find it odd. It angers me and it made me sad as a kid, feeling judged for what I was consuming. Therefore, these instances as a kid ruined part of who I am and made me feel as though I need to hide my religion and identity when it comes to food.
Wow, it's so unfortunate that you were ashamed of your religious practices because of how people react to food that is uncommon. It really shows how food is a powerful influence on identity.
Yeah, unfortunately, some lunches were uncomfortable when I was younger, but as I've grown, I'm a lot more confident and not afraid to eat what I want and stand up for what I believe in.
I think it's time we take this conversation to the street.
We will be interviewing two fellow students and asking them to share their lunchroom experiences.
First, we will be interviewing Maya, a U of M student with Armenian origins.
Hello, so yes, me and my family are from Armenia, and food is an extremely important part of our culture. So throughout middle school and high school, my mom would pack me different Armenian foods for lunch, and my foods looked a lot different from my friends' pizza and french fries, and a lot of times they would ask me different questions about it, and because it smelled or looked different than theirs, and though they didn't mean anything bad by it, definitely made me feel a little insecure. Sometimes I would hide my food in my lunchbox just because I didn't want all the attention.
So would you say that how you were influenced to eat by your peers as a kid changes how you eat now?
I still don't hold back from eating the Armenian foods I love, but it's always in the back of my head that insecurity. A lot of times I'll eat my Armenian food in the private confines of my own house or apartment instead of out in public.
Wow, very interesting. This really shows how power is manifested in food and how it can influence identity as we age.
I really think it's interesting how kids in general act when foods from different cultures and religions are displayed. It's almost as though they don't know how to react, so out of instinct, they just judge it and make fun of it.
I agree. I think if kids were more accepting in the lunchroom, food could function as a tool that brings us together, not tears us apart.
Totally agree. Next, we'll be interviewing Elizabeth, someone who has another perspective on the lunchroom foods.
Yeah, so when I was a kid, I remember going to the lunchroom and feeling a little embarrassed and jealous because I never had what the other kids had when it came to food. I always saw my friends with brand name foods like Oreos and Doritos, and I was stuck with the simple homemade PB&J and carrot sticks. I remember going home and begging my parents to buy the same name brand foods that my friends had so I could fit in. Now it doesn't bother me or affect me as much what I eat or what brand it is, but as a kid, what I ate and what other people ate created insecurity.
So in this case, it seems as though family income, family values, and what her parents viewed as a healthy lunch were the biggest factors in what she brought to lunch. This shows us how our parents, whether it's their income or their views on food, can impact us as a kid.
I know for sure when I was younger, I'd always go home and ask my parents to buy food items that my friends brought.
Oh my gosh, me too.
Now reflecting, it's crazy to think how much my peers influenced me when it came to eating.
As a whole, what we ate in the lunchroom and who we ate with is a deeper topic than meets the eye.
Looking back at everything we talked about today, it is clear how religion, gender, class, and food preferences in general can be judged or altered by our peers.
Although we did just discuss lunches as a child, there are obviously more places in which our eating habits are altered, such as when we go out to eat, when we eat in the dining hall at college, or even just family dinners at home.
Overall, food is powerful. Food acts as a tool that can change how we eat as adults or how we view our original eating habits.
We hope that this podcast really opened your eyes, well, your ears, and made you reflect on how food, lunchroom food in specific, altered your identity today.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next week to For the Love of Food.
Bye.